Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, for the first three games of the season, if I had heard this song, I might have gotten sick to my stomach a little bit with the way that the team has played. But hey, last night was a lot of fun. They found their scoring touch again. And now we wait to see whether or not they can continue that and build upon it and just find a way to get back into the mix of things in the picture in the NHL, or whether or not that was a one-game sort of burst of goal scoring and then things die down again. But yeah, last night was a lot of fun. 8-4, Sabres getting a win over the Ottawa Senators. The first win of the season for the Sabres in their 2025-2026 regular season schedule. And yeah, that, you know, I have to admit, I rewatched the game after the fact because I was busy last night, but got the chance to rewatch a large chunk of the game. And they had their moments where it looked like, oh no, here we go again. They're going to collapse, especially early in the third period. But then they found a way to turn on the Jets and put pucks in the back of the net and put things away and keep Ottawa off their tail in the third period. Buffalo coming away again. 8-4 winners over the Senators. And of course, joining us here, by the way, Brayton Wilson here, filling in on the Extra Point Show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I'm Brayton Wilson, joined now by our own Paul Hamilton for the entirety of today's show. And just a little spoiler for everybody, we'll be back again tomorrow. Paul will be live from Sabres practice, so he'll chime in here and there, and then we'll have the likes of Joe Calle on the board and also Owen Parker joining us as well over the course of today and tomorrow. Good morning, Paul. How are you on this fine Thursday morning?
I'm well. Tomorrow you'll have me for an hour.
Yep.
Practice starts at 11,
yes.
So I'll be with you from 10 to 11, and then off to practice I go.
Well, Paul, last night was nice to see with the way the Sabres bounced back after their first three outings, and it was a little treacherous, I could say, at times, where you thought Ottawa was going to somehow find a way to climb back into it or run away with this game and leave Buffalo in the dust. But the Sabres stuck with it. They played tough and managed to come away with a pretty resounding win.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, Lindy Ruff, I thought, really summed it up at the end of his press conference yesterday when his quote was, "You have to fight your way through tough parts of the season. Our fight wasn't good enough in the first three games. I don't care whether you're hurt or not. We didn't earn enough. We didn't deserve enough. We didn't fight enough. And tonight we fought and for everything that we got." And perfect. I couldn't have said it better myself. That's exactly what happened to the Buffalo Sabres. The first three games, there was no fight almost at all. They were okay at times, but it was just blah. It was just nothing.
Yeah.
And then it was, well, honestly, it was kind of that way in the first period. I mean, yes, they did score their first power play goal, and they got their first lead of the year, getting a break. You know, Quinn shot the puck over the net, but he shoots it hard enough that it hit the glass, came back, hit the goalie, and went in. You know, so they got a break there. But at the end of the day, in the first period, you know how many shots they had 5-on-5?
How many, Paul?
None. All three shots they had in the period came on that power play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They had no shots. No shots, 5-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, it didn't get rolling until the shorthanded goal. You know, the fans had started to get into it, and that, you know, when the fans start booing the referees and getting on them and everything, and that kind of gets the building up. And I think the Sabres, you know, oh, okay, cool, the fans are here, great, you know, type of a thing. And the Sabres are taking penalty after penalty, and then Ruff thought there was goaltender interference, so he challenged the goal. It didn't work. And then they take a penalty there, and then Tuck takes a penalty. And then next thing you know, they score a shorthanded goal, and the building just absolutely goes off. I mean, even though there weren't that many people in there, it just went crazy. And you could just see the Sabres draw off the energy, and they never looked back.
Yeah, and I think something about this game, Paul, that stands out to me from what I've seen from the first handful of games, the first three games compared to this one, is that, yes, while in Boston, they got outshot by the Bruins, and that first period was one of the worst periods of hockey that we've seen in a while. But for the most part, with this team, they've been throwing pucks on net, but they haven't been willing to go to the high danger areas or the spots on the ice where, you know, a juicy rebound could be left there and you're in good position to try and whack that puck home into the back of the net. Last night, they were doing just that. They were willing to go to those areas and willing to get a little dirty and willing to battle a little bit more to put the puck in the net and score goals, where you just didn't see that enough in the first three games. And it was nice to see that maybe that message, maybe that that initiative has clicked for them finally.
Well, other than Josh Doan, the guy who probably battles the best and the most on the team, returned for this first game of the year.
Zach Benson.
And he winds up with four assists. And Doan, I thought, was excellent in that game. I think he's going to become a lot of Buffalo Sabre fans' favorite player, the way he plays hockey. And, you know, he was rewarded for three assists. But, you know, you talk about people that are going to be at the net. Well, there are two right there that are always going to be around the net, always battling. And always in the middle of everything, agitating the other team and just in the middle of it all. But Lindy Ruff mentioned before the game in his meeting with us that saying, quote, we have to play faster. And that's exactly right. They weren't using their speed at all in most of the games. Yeah, they have 37 shots in Shesterkin, but tell me how many big saves does Shesterkin have to make? Any?
Right. We were sitting up in the press box together, and I think I turned to you at one point and said, this is one of the easiest games Igor Shesterkin's probably had in his entire career.
Right. Yeah, he didn't have anybody around him or in front of him or anything like that. And, you know, the Sabres are taking a lot of shots from the outside. They were standing on the perimeter. Nobody was, other than Zucker, was going to the net. And, you know, it just – and then against Colorado, they did it for a period. You know, the first period, all of a sudden, you know, they decided to start the Kozak line. That was smart because they immediately got a forecheck going. I think it took 20 seconds for Malenstein to go to the net and tip a puck, you know. And then I noticed the Thompson line was all over the crease for the first period. And then it all went away. They stopped doing it, you know, after one period, where in this game, you talk about using your speed. You know, what's been wrong with Ryan McLeod? I mean, it was night and day between last year and the first three games. He was just nowhere. He was minus five. You didn't notice him at all. He was playing horribly. He was on the wrong side of the puck half the time. It just wasn't. And what got him the shorthanded goal? Using his speed to get in quickly on the goaltender, who then turned the puck over to him. So then he relayed it out to Benson, who was, what's he doing? He's coming down the slot, going to the net. And the save was made there, but the goaltender was way out of position. Mirilane, and he had been behind the net. He made that save, but he wasn't going to be in position to take on McLeod, who kept going and bounced on the rebound. And then McLeod's other goal. It was right after Ruff called timeout, after Ottawa started the third period with two goals and things were not looking good. Buffalo's three-goal lead was evaporating quickly. Ruff very wisely called a timeout And I don't think, you know, I wasn't down there, but just looking at it, it didn't look like he was berating anybody.
No.
But the player said his message basically was, you guys are acting like you don't want the puck. You know, take the puck and play.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exactly what they did right out of the timeout.
Yeah.
17 seconds later, you got Alex Tuch flying down the left wing. You got McLeod coming full speed down the slot. Passes it to McLeod. It's in the net.
Yeah.
But there's the speed again that Ruff was talking about that was missing from the game. Krebs leads a 3-on-1 right after that. What's coming down the slot? Quinn with speed. Finds him. He's wide open. Puts on a slick little move and gets the goal. So Ruff finally got through to his team about using your skating ability and using your speed. And I think there were quite a few examples of that last night.
Yeah, and it's funny, Paul. I've got NHL Network on in the studio here in our Amherst studios. And right as you were talking about Lindy Ruff, they showed him on the TV talking during that timeout, and he was animated, but not in an angry way.
It didn't look like he was screaming at him or anything.
Right.
He was, you know, making his point.
Right, exactly. And it was so funny because it was right after they showed the highlight of the second goal in the third period where Lyon leaves the puck there, and it looks like it was scorched fire puck where, you know, Dahlin didn't want to touch it, Timmins didn't want to touch it. I mean, there's a little miscommunication it looked like there, but the Senators forward comes shrieking in, takes the puck, throws it right out in front, and the puck ends up in the back of the net behind Alex Lyon. I mean, it's those types of mistakes that we've seen with this hockey team in years past that absolutely would just kill any momentum there in years past. But last night it showed that, you know, that was bad. There was the miscommunication there. Then Lindy calls the timeout at the right time. And yeah, they seem to respond quite well. And from there, really, they get the two goals in pretty quick succession. And Ottawa just looked like they just shut down mentally from there.
Yeah, they did. I mean, and you know, this is a goaltender. People say, well, they beat an AHL goaltender. Well, maybe do a little homework. He played for the Ottawa Senators last year, put up excellent numbers. I believe he had 14 NHL games coming in. His numbers were really good, especially save percentage. So it's not like they just called up some AHL goaltender, threw him in the net. He did not have a good preseason, so I think they were a little bit worried about him. And from what we saw in the game, maybe they should have been. But, this is a guy that has performed in the NHL before.
Yeah. 803-0551, 888-550-2550 are the numbers here. If you would like to chime in on the Sabres, we can even talk some Bills if you want to. I know that they're on the bye week, and maybe the last two games have kind of left a sour taste in your mouth. But, hey, at least last night was a little bit more fun with the Sabres finding their scoring touch, getting a win, and put up a Twitter poll, Paul. And, looking at the way that they performed last night and the way they were finding the back of the net, they only had 27 shots on goal, but eight of them managed to find their way into the back of the net. Are you back on the Sabres bandwagon here through the first four games, especially after last night? Your options are, oh yeah, we're back, baby. Or still need to see a little bit more, especially with the Florida Panthers, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions coming to town on Saturday. Or no, we're doomed. Those are your options in the Twitter poll. And right now in the Twitter poll, we've got...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a little over 51% voting. Still need to see more from the team. 33% of people are still down on the team. The eternal pessimists with we're all doomed. And then nearly 15% of people are the optimists saying we are absolutely back.
You know, it's interesting as you look back to last night's game. I didn't like the first period really at all, mm-hmm. other than that power play. And they got outshot 8-3. They only had three shots in the first period. They only four shots in the third period, but with the exception of the start where Ottawa scored 40 seconds in and 2:15 in, once you got past that, I thought they played a pretty good period, even though they only had four shots.
Mm-hmm.
They got a shot 11-4, but I don't think they got dominated at all in the third, except in that first few minutes. And then after that, I don't think they got dominated. So it's interesting how a three-shot period looked really bad, but a four-shot period I thought was fine and looked good. And then in the middle, they put up a 20-shot period. 37 shots in one period between the two teams.
Yeah.
Buffalo outshot Ottawa 20-17.
Yeah.
You know what? If the United States saw more hockey like that, I think hockey would be a lot more popular in the United States.
Yeah.
If they saw periods where there's 37 shots on goal.
Yeah, a combined 37 shots and a combined... Oh, goodness. How many goals? Six in that period? Five? Four? I don't know. One,
Buffalo
two,
scored
three,
four.
Four. Five. Five goals.
Ottawa had one.
Five goals. Yeah, I mean, if that was hockey on a regular basis, and, you know, while 8-4 games aren't maybe necessarily fun in terms of goaltending and for goaltenders, yeah, lots of goals, lots of blasts of the goal horns is a lot of fun to hear, to see for hockey, and I think you make a really good point there, where if that was the case, maybe the sport would be much more popular in the United States than it is up in Canada. But I digress. Paul, want to ask you about Zach Benson a little bit more, just because, you know, I think it was very clear, very evident that he was the missing piece for the Sabres in the first two, three games of the season. He comes back last night and has a three-point night, just... a guy that really changes the dynamic for them with his style of play, because he's just so tenacious on and off the puck. He's arguably the best forechecker on the team. Just the little things he does, I think, really kind of completes other guys he plays with on the ice and kind of gives energy for the guys that maybe are on the bench when he's on the ice.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, everything the Sabres were missing in the first three games is what he does the best. And, you know, Doan, of course, can do those things and was doing those things, but not too many other people were. And it becomes contagious. You know, you see Benson doing it, then you see Doan doing it, then you see Malenstein doing it, and then it becomes contagious. Now everybody else kind of wants to jump in and do it. Say, all right, cool. You know, this is going well. We finally have a power play goal. Cool. We finally have a lead. Cool. Hey, look at these guys going to the net. Maybe we should do that. And, you know, it becomes contagious. And, you know, the Tuck goal after the McLeod goal, why did he score? Well, Bryson takes a shot. Who's screening the goaltender? Alex Tuck. Who gets the rebound? Alex Tuck. Why? Because he's standing on top of the crease, you know, where goals are scored. And it's just, you can go on and on how more guys were doing that. And, you know, you never have to worry about Doan or Zucker. You know, they'll be around the net, but you have to worry about some of the others. They have to be reminded. And, you know, it's so, yeah, with Benson there and bringing the attributes that they were sorely missing in those first three games was certainly a lift. And as you know, I've been worried a little bit about his offensive production. Not that he would never do it, but I thought maybe he needed a little bit of boost at his age to help get him to there, because guys who usually put up the numbers he put up in junior, and he's always scored in every level of play, they normally get to it in the NHL. And so I've always had him back on. He's going to get to it. But I, you know, wasn't sure when that was going to be, and I really wasn't thinking this year. But at least after one game, four assists. I mean, second youngest player in Sabre history to get four assists in a game. I don't know if you saw that stat. If
no,
you didn't, you can tell me who you think the youngest is.
The youngest to get four assists in a game?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say McGillney.
Nope, it was Pierre Turgeon.
Pierre Turgeon, okay. That makes total sense. Makes a lot of sense because he was very young when he came into the NHL. And Yeah, that's interesting. And I totally missed the fact that they gave him a fourth assist.
That was late. I was almost, because I tend to, I procrastinate a lot. If I don't write my article before I leave the arena, I'm sitting here at 2 in the morning go, jeez, I haven't written that article yet. Oh, God, I got to write that.
Yeah.
You know, so I've really try to discipline myself to write it before I leave, and I probably was 11:30, quarter of 12 when they changed it, when I saw it, and I hadn't posted it yet, so I was able to, you know, go back in and change it. But it was later on that they gave him that assist.
Yeah, and honestly, I rewatched a lot of the game last night before I went to bed, and even before I went to bed, there were still three assists for Benson, so that's why I was kind of caught off guard by that this morning. But yeah. I know, Paul, in the past, and I know you've talked about it with the criticism of this team, really kind of trying to expose some of their young prospects, their young talents, way too early. And yeah, maybe Zach Benson was one of those guys, but when he got drafted, when he was fighting for that roster spot right off the bat, I firmly believe that given the composure and the makeup of that team that he was on, he had earned that roster spot. And then when Lindy kind of came in, I think Lindy was trying to get that feel of the roster and the guys on the team still. And I think if Zach Benson had been drafted in 24 rather than 23, he probably doesn't play for the Sabres last year, goes back to juniors, and then, you know, probably makes the team this year. But I've always liked Zach Benson's game, even as an 18-year-old, to see what he was able to do at his age and the way that he played, the way that he competed. At his young age, he's still learning. He's still growing. So there's going to be some growing pains, like some mistakes on and off the puck, some bad stick penalties that we've seen him take. But I'm really high on Zach Benson this year in particular, especially if he's going to consistently play with a guy like Tage Thompson and Yuri Kulik or Ryan McLeod, whoever's going to center that top line at this point, or even if Tage going to center that line. But I had predicted in my bold predictions article, Paul, before last Thursday's game against the Rangers, that Benson was I was predicting him to be in line for at least a 60-point season playing on that top line. And right now, I mean, I know four assists in one game really kind of helps my argument there, but I mean, I don't think that you can look at how he's even grown as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, entering his 20-year-old season here, and not be really high on his true potential to continue to grow, and that where his game kind of blossoms from here.
Yeah, they have an 18-year-old this year playing in Rochester in Mertka, and I'm not sure that's a great idea. We'll see.
I'm surprised by that, too.
Yeah, he did some good things in preseason, a lot of good things, and he did a lot of 18-year-old things, too. And I just thought maybe go dominate in Seattle for one more year, but they felt that maybe, especially being a defenseman, I mean, Hellenius last year was a forward doing it, and he had problems for the first half of the year. And then Hellenius really took off and was one of their better players in the second half of the year. So he might have some growing pains down. Well, he will have some growing pains down there.
Oh, yeah.
But my thought is in Benson's case, I understand where the CHL is coming from, where they don't want to lose all their good players because they all are going to the American Hockey League. It'll ruin their league. And
well, now they're going to college.
Yeah, but they're probably right, you know? Yeah, I probably will. But on the other side of the coin, why can't each team have one exception?
Thank you.
You know, just one exception, and it's not going to kill the CHL. You're still going to get a lot of good players coming back. But why can't there be one exception that you can send to the American Hockey League? And I just don't get that, you know, why that is such a big deal. And where each club can decide, you can use your one exception once every X amount of years whatever it might be. But I think that would be a good compromise because Benson probably would have been wasting his time in junior, you know, down there. He already had, what was it, a 98 or 95-point season his last year in junior. And then I just think he would have been spinning his wheels down there. But was he ready for the NHL? He didn't embarrass himself by any means.
No.
But I don't know. I think he was ready for the AHL. I think that would have been a good first year for him. And, you know, after a year in the AHL, I think maybe he might have been further ahead in the NHL quicker. But they don't do that. But I just don't understand why you can't have one exception for each hockey team.
Yeah, I've said that for a long, long while, dating back to, like, the Sam Reinhart days. Because after they drafted Sam Reinhart in 2014, I think everybody could see the writing on the wall where it was just like, there's no reason a guy like Sam Reinhart needs to go back to junior. He's already had 3 years playing junior and playing very high at the junior level. And he went back, played really well, went to the World Juniors, won a gold medal for Canada. And, you know, it helped him in his ascension to be able to make the NHL roster the following season. But, yeah, like guys like Zach Benson, you made mention that he had a 98-point season in his draft year, which, you know, was absolutely, I agree, where if you've got a prospect, especially at the Canadian Hockey League level, where they're over-exceeding every expectation they have at that level, that if there's the opportunity, they should absolutely be allowed to go play in the AHL and have that one-player exemption rule or whatnot. But now a lot of them are just skipping that and just going to the college route, go play college for a year against some bigger, tougher competition than you would in juniors. And then after that 1 year, you sign your entry-level contract and then start your professional career there. So, yeah. But I wholeheartedly agree. Back to your point there, Paul, just with, one exemption player every year, whether it be and if it's a first-round player, fine. Like if the Vancouver Canucks, they had Braden Coutts, their first round pick this year, play for I think maybe one or two games just to get that little taste, and then they sent him back to the Western Hockey League. He would actually be a teammate of Radim Mirka right now in Seattle. That would be the type of player where it's just like, hey, like he's a first round pick, recently drafted. We really don't want to have to send him back to the Western Hockey League because he's probably going to be that type of player that's just going to score 100 plus points and just look like it's just simple cakes out there. Yeah, an exemption like that would be a nice little addition, but you know, we can't always interject to the NHL or to the CHL to provide our input. That would be smarter, Paul. But all right, 803-0551, 888-550-2550 are the numbers here. Listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. When we come back, Paul, another player who really stood out last night. Want to get the chance to talk about him a little bit more. And you made mention of him already, of him becoming a fan favorite. But I do want to get into talking about one of the newest acquisitions. And we'll talk about that. We'll get into the Sabres a little bit more. Feel free to join us at 803-0551, 888-550-2550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton filling in today here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.